Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to continue talking to Dr. Lightman about the method of correction of man, of the world that we learn about from show to show. And on this show, we'd like to focus on a very special concept called the group. A group that works according to the method of correction of the wisdom of Kabbalah. How does it influence a person? And how can it improve a person's life in the best possible way? Tal, please. Yeah. We understand that there is a developing, correcting force in nature that if we'll know how to draw it into our life, we'll be able to change our relations, and as a result, we'll have a better, much happier life. And today we'd like to understand, how do we do it? We understand that it's possible to do it only together with other people in a group. And of course, it's a special group with special characteristics that works in a way that we're not familiar with. And this is what we'd like to ask about. What is a group? When you say a group in which people work together, what do you mean? A group in our world, it's something irrational that actually doesn't exist. This concept doesn't exist in our world. Even though that you hear everywhere group, 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 but what the wisdom of Kabbalah means by the word group, it's something completely different. The whole of reality is one integral system, meaning all of its parts, traits, corners, everything is interconnected into one thing. Like our body, where all of the systems work together and are all interconnected, and this is why the body exists and works. I'm talking about an ideal body that's completely healthy. And if some system starts deviating from its corrected form, we understand that it's not necessarily that something's happening in a certain organ, but especially it's about the connection between the organs. And therefore, there is a holopathic approach to this. Doctors, they think only about a certain little organ, area, something that you have to correct, and all the rest isn't important for us. An eye doctor doesn't know about the ears, the ear doctor doesn't know about the kidneys, and so on. And this is actually the problem, that we're not relating to our body and to the entire reality as one mechanism. And the more we advance, we see that it is not so. Just like our world's becoming round, and we find that we're interconnected. Why? It's in accordance with our development, meaning the more we develop, even egoistically, we discover that we are in one system, all interconnected. And we have no choice but to see ourselves this way. And if we continue looking at ourselves as individual units, then as a result, we'll reach a bad situation. Separation, corruption, like what we feel today, to the extent to which each of us can reach anyone else, either through five people, like the 5 degrees of separation, or if we're talking about our world of business, our world of journeys, the different connections that we have, it's all global. It's all around the world. Our industry, trade, it's all around the world. It's global. But we, alongside with it, are not ready for it. Each of us is alone, on his own, a very big, discrete individualist. Not willing to be connected, like we see that all the systems in the world are connected. Also, if we look at the stars, the galaxies, all the astronomical systems in the universe, eventually, we see how all of these things are interconnected. Our advanced research tells us about it, that there is much beyond what we attain, but we can attain it because we think about these things not as a whole, not as something integral, and therefore we're not aware of the essence of the connection that exists between all of the parts of reality. Also, by nature, we can't connect sound with light, health with nature in general. Only now we're discovering that we're dependent on what's going on the sun, on stars, that our mood and our situation in general depends on different phenomena that happens in the universe. And this is something that we gradually discover. And in human society, we have no idea of how interconnected and interdependent we are. And the more separated we want to be, the more distanced we want to be from one another, the more harm we bring upon ourselves. And in order to give us an example of what exactly is the true reality, that's one system that is tightly connected on different levels with an infinite amount of parts and details that are all interconnected in a way that we don't understand even the tiniest bit about it. But specifically in human society, we have the ability to investigate it. And this laboratory in which we investigate nature as something unified is the group in which we can collect people and start teaching them to be together. And when they will really be able to come closer to each other, atop the ego, awakening within them the force of connection, revealing their connection, love towards each other, affection, then we'll start seeing between them special kind of connection, preferably for the men and women to be separately in order not to get confused by the issue of sex, preferably for everyone to be more or less of the same age, suppose from 30 to 40 and so on, and for them to also maybe have the same status in terms of their education and so on, so they'll better understand each other. The more the starting conditions are closer, the more similar they are, the easier it's going to be to bring them closer, to explain to them what is the experiment that we want to go through. And then we try to bring them closer, so that if they'll be able to come closer to each other, they'll get a prize, as always, because this is the only thing that a person understands, either reward or punishment, a prize or suffering. And then by that, we can bring them to connection. So much that they'll understand that if they're going for some big prize that's worthwhile for everyone, then it's beneficial for them to learn from one another how to get closer, how to bestow upon the strengthening of their connection, how each should subjugate himself towards the group in order to come closer to it, how to bestow good things upon the group, how to influence the group for the better, because here each has to show how much greater than everyone else he is, but in a positive way. And this way, we can cause them to advance towards connection. And there are many more things about this. For when they'll be able to come closer to each other, to really be with one another hours and hours each and every day, then they'll start feeling that they have a kind of a mutual desire for connection, that they have a mutual force that can awaken them and influence them. They start discovering that besides everyone having their own individual egoistic desire with which they came to the group with, now they also have a mutual desire, and this desire is called the group. Before that, it was just a collection of people, but a group, it means that they form and shape and build something that doesn't belong to anyone in particular, but to everyone together. And that it's impossible for the group to remain as a group if they take out this new force that they have revealed. And that special force that they have attained cannot remain if they take anyone of the members of the group out of the group. Meaning that we're all interdependent, and all of them want to be connected such that they attain their mutual force called connection, the unified connection. And this force operates outside of them. It's higher than them. This force is a force that doesn't belong to anyone, but to everyone. Meaning by this, we truly form an additional force that didn't exist before, that only when the group unites, where everyone annuls their ego towards everyone else, and everyone really connects and only want to cause good to each other, then by that they form a new force called the group, the one mutual force. And they start nourishing themselves by that one force, meaning that now, by this one force that they have generated between them in the group, they feel that they belong to this force, where they don't feel that each belongs to himself in an individual, egoistic way as before. This as if disappears from them. They don't want to acknowledge that. They want to acknowledge only this mutual force. Because by it, if there are supposed 10 people, then each is included of the 9 others. So he has a 10 times greater force than he had before. And in the 10, it's 10 times 10, so it's at least 100 times greater. But they go and multiply it and increase this mutual force. And then this mutual force, it's not an egoistic force. This is what's interesting. But it's an altruistic force. It's the force of mutual bestowal, because each came out of his ego towards the others. So by that, we have created the force of bestowal, of love, the force of connection that's outside the person. It's a force that exists in nature outside of our ego. Suddenly, we have created a new creature. This creature is called man. Specifically, this is called man, and not the way each of us previously was, simply as a small beast. What kind of creature is this man? Spiritual. It's a force that all of us can feel that we exist in it, inside that desire. And then we, through this force, through this one force that we have all generated between us, by it, we can investigate a new reality. Meaning, what do we feel in it? How can we live in it? How do we feel the reality around us? Do we feel the same environment as we have felt before? Because the way we feel everything now is inside our egoistic desire. But if we rose above our egoistic, individualistic desires, and we have generated this great big altruistic force, then by it, from within it, we see a different world, called the upper world, the spiritual world, a world of bestowal, where we see through this mutual quality of ours, a new reality, a mutual reality, and our mind becomes a new mutual mind, and our vessels, our senses, inside this mutual desire of bestowal and love, they become new qualities. And then around us, we start feeling that we exist in a new realm that's not egoistic, like the one that we feel now because of our egoistic qualities, but we feel a world of utter bestowal and love. Previously, you said that it's a laboratory for research of nature as a mechanism. Yeah. So this is the nature as a whole. By building this new desire, mutual desire, altruistic desire that we've built in our laboratory by each coming out of himself, by this new mutual desire of bestowal and love, we see a different world, not in the light of reception, but in the light of bestowal. That's it. Meaning we went through a vast transformation, yes, from a state where I, as an individual, feel everything around myself as separate things, and also myself as something separate, as a separate being, to a point where we connect with other people and we feel reality as one big whole mechanism, interconnected mechanism. Yes. This is amazing. So now we'd like to understand the process. What are the tools that such a group has? What do they use in order to make the change? This is actually the Kabbalistic practice. The sages, the scientists of Kabbalah, discovered it a long time ago, almost 6,000 years ago. They wrote many books about it. There's a very precise method, a program that we have to implement on ourselves, meaning we go into this laboratory with a lot of guidance, books, accompanied by everything that we need. And that's it. We realize it. This method is unique. It exists only in the people of Israel that have realized it thousands of years ago. And today, the time has come that they both have to renew this method amongst them, because they used to use this method and they left it, and now they have to renew it, and they also have to serve it to the rest of the world, because we have reached a state where the world is needy of this method. The world has developed to such a degree that our next stage is realizing this kind of connection in the tens all over the world. Okay, so if I correctly understand, the uniqueness of this group as opposed to other groups is the change that my desire goes through. Yes. That I don't have a mutual goal like any other group does, but here I myself change in order to unite with the rest of the people. Right. So what exactly are these desires that we unite? How do we unite them? How does it work? We gather in a group, and by different exercises, we start getting closer to each other. We understand that breaking in to a new dimension is something that we can't do on our own, because we remain egoists, and to rise from the egoistic nature to the opposite nature, the other nature, that probably exists, because against the minus there is plus, as the force of bestowal, but the force of bestowal doesn't exist in our world. So the only way that we can reach it is through connection in the group. And then, from the group, we have to reach a state where the force of bestowal is revealed among us. This is actually the entire transformation that we have to make. And how do you do it? You gather in a group, do different exercises. What exercises? The great Kabbalist, Baruch Ashlag, wrote us articles about it. And in these articles, we can see what do we have to do. Meaning, these are exercises in which everyone starts connecting in a circle. What do you mean in a circle? That we're all equal. Each annuls himself. Each of us is greater than the others. Each of us is smaller than the others. Each tries to see the others as equals. Next, each tries to leave his ego and to serve others. Each is concerned with the connection and is concerned with the others, with his friends, and tries not to think about himself, but about them. And together, we study the writings of Kabbalah, through which we understand, with the help of which we understand, how we're supposed to be more connected, closer to each other. This is actually what this entire practice is all about. It's pretty simple. Only it has to be precisely according to the articles that we were given, and we have to carry out these things that were written meticulously, and to do it daily. I have a question. If I correctly understand what you just said, you described two levels. There's a level on which people inside this Kabbalistic group learn from the Kabbalistic writings about how do they come closer to each other. And the other level is that they start connecting in practice by special exercises. Yes. Okay, about the writings, I understand more or less that it's like a kind of a method that they learn that explains to them what and how they have to do. This I want to put aside, and I want to talk about the connecting exercises. You said that they start connecting in a circle where everyone's equal. Everyone tries to see that everyone's equal. Everyone tries to stop thinking about himself, about his ego, and to think about the others for their benefit. Now, when you talked, I don't know why, but I got this picture of a group that in order for them to succeed in their mission, they really have to be connected as one. And when you talked, I got this picture of a mafia, a group of criminals that really feel each other very close. They feel that in order to succeed, they need to connect according to all of these rules, that they're really together. Unless they're united, they can't open the safe. There's no inner click. Right. So first of all, why do I see this picture? And is this the group according to the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah? In short, can you set things straight? What's the difference between the mafia and a group of Kabbalists? Yes. The goal? Very simple. What is the mafia's goal? That by us connecting, we'll have one strong force, we'll feel confident that we can achieve the goal, that we can break into some safe and some bank, and whatever state anyone's in, all of us will come to save him, and so on. Meaning, actually, it's all true. The question about the mafia is, that there they want to reach a state where they want to harm someone else. Maybe it's not about harming someone else, but it's about attaining some corporeal benefit, specifically by stealing, killing, doesn't matter. The main thing is their egoistic yield. Maybe they even justify themselves by doing something just. They steal from the rich. Social justice. Yeah. But still, it's something that they're, that's directed by their ego. Okay, and as opposed to that, in the group of Kabbalists, it's the very opposite. We connect in order for each of us to annul himself. And also the force of bestowal that we attain, not a great force of reception like they do in the mafia, but a great force of bestowal. It helps us penetrate an upper reality that's hidden from us. And by that, we can investigate the upper reality called the upper world, the spiritual world, and the upper force that operates in us, we call the Creator, Bo'e in Hebrew, from the words Bo'e, come and see that we attain Him among us, and we truly discover a reality that controls our corporeal reality. Why, in a mafia group, can't they attain this force that you call the upper force? They also connect as equals, annul themselves towards each other. But the goal is different. It's an egoistic goal. Our goal is to attain the force of bestowal. Their goal, by their connection, is to achieve a greater force of reception, cruel force. So it's not enough just to perform these connecting exercises where we're all equal, and we think about each other, and one for all and all for one. No, even though that they connect with one another, they connect in order to increase the general force of their ego. And in a group of Kabbalists, it's the very opposite. The more we annul our individual ego and achieve the mutual force of bestowal, which is the force of love, of giving, yes. And then what happens is that if I connect this way with the ten, then I acquire the force of bestowal. Otherwise, I can't. Unfortunately, our time's up. Please, can you summarize? What did we learn about the Kabbalistic group? A group in the wisdom of Kabbalah is a collection of people that become as one man and one heart that attain the force of bestowal that's called the upper force or the Creator. And through it, they discover the upper reality that is hidden from everyone in our world. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.